Sometimes you wonder why you went. You don't wonder what you stayed on for. You've been home for a couple.
More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. For a singer-songwriter, Slade Cleaves isn't the most loquacious guy you'll ever meet. The About section of his website says, Slade Cleaves, grew up in Maine, lives in Texas, writes songs, tries to be good. It turns out that all the really important stuff is in his songs. Cleaves writes about love and loss and longing, but he doesn't shy away from difficult topical subjects either, as this song, Still Fighting the War, the title track off his newest album, proves. Cleaves, along with guitarist Scrappy Judd Newcomb, stopped by the Lake Effect studio a couple of weeks ago to chat with Mitch Tyke.
But spread is fraying, fading and tearing apart. Two strangers holding each other in the dark. Tell me, what were you dreaming? How did you think it would end? How many heroes are scattered out into the wind? Rafters turn to broken dishes and slamming doors. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war.
Slade Cleaves with Scrappy Judd Newcomb, Still Fighting the War. What a beautiful, heartbreaking song. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
And welcome to Milwaukee.
Hey, thanks so much. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a while. It must have been something to have written that song, especially with its references to the VA, and have all of this controversy about the VA suddenly come to the fore. I mean, you have tapped into something that is on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, I felt that happening as I was going through the various versions of the song. It developed over a period of a few years when the VA issue would kind of come and go and come and go, and then it came to the fore in the media big time just as the record was about to be released. So we thought we'd tie in with some veterans organizations with the album release, and that was really great to get to know some of those people and to funnel some donations their way. And It felt good.
Have you had a chance to perform the song much for veterans?
Not for any veterans groups per se yet, but I have had veterans show up at shows, and of course it's really powerful when they shake my hand and tell me where they were and how much the song meant to them. It's funny when the song came out and I was making this connection and I thought, hey, I have a song that has some relevance to the local news. Then I realized I read a statistic that veterans' families make up 1% of the population. So it kind of makes sense that I play for about 100 people a night, and there's usually one veteran. So it's not like I tapped into this huge zeitgeist or anything. It's a tiny portion of the country, which is really shocking to me. But making that connection is incredibly powerful.
Well, and it struck me as I listened to this whole album that a lot of the people that you are writing about and singing about are people who feel like they've kind of been passed by.
Well, I think that goes to the Woody Guthrie edict that a folk singer's job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I'm always on the lookout for underdogs who need their story told.
Well, and, you know, I've heard the same thing said about journalists, and I don't know that I ever connected what the folk singer does with what a journalist does until maybe just this very moment, but there's some overlap there.
Historically, especially, yeah. If you think about the development of journalism and the development of folk music in the earlier part of the century, yeah, they kind of did go hand in hand, exposing the evils of the world.
Speaking truth to power. And,
yeah, there you go.
So do you feel like in some small way you are working to keep some of these people from being passed by?
Oh, definitely. I do take that. I take that sort of folk music part of what I do, that tradition, very seriously, yeah.
Well, and getting back to Still Fighting the War, was it one veteran story that sparked this song in you, or really reading about the issue as a whole?
I think it started reading about the issue as a whole. A particular veteran contributed to the title, actually. A buddy of mine, Ron Coy, was good friends with a Vietnam War vet who never readjusted to society completely. He passed away when I was writing this song, still battling the VA over his Agent Orange exposure. And my buddy talked about his friend Brian. My buddy Ron said, You know, it was like Brian, the whole time he was home, it was like he was still fighting the war. And so Ron provided the title of the song, talking about his friend Brian. So, yeah, there's a direct connection there. Some of the other imagery from the song came after I saw this Pulitzer Prize-winning photo essay in the Denver Post. Craig Walker is the photographer who followed a veteran around for Iraq War veteran around for, I think, 7 months in Denver, and just produced this harrowing series of photographs of this guy trying so hard to readjust to life and to get back into the swing of things and failing and really struggling. It's just beautiful photographs.
Well, I was hoping, speaking of songs that you have written, you might grace us with another one from the new record.
Would love to, yes. I think let's do Rust Belt Fields. I wrote this with my old buddy Rod Picott from South Berwick, Maine as well. This is my town, out in the Rustville fields. We were banging out Buicks and Oldsmobiles. There was always a job, and the money was there. Some say we got a little lazy, nobody seemed to care. But they figured it out and sent the elbow grease down to Mexico and off to the Chinese. And I learned a little something about how things are. No one remembers your name just for working hard. To the ground till your factory's cold and they tear it all down and the parts get sold. Come the bankers now picking over the bones. I got three more neighbors now about to lose their home. Cause they figured it out and sent the elbow grease down to Mexico and off to the Chinese. And I learned a little something about how things are. No one gets a bonus for bloody knuckles and scars. No one remembers your name just for working hard. There's a casino boat up around Boone. Think I'll buy me a bottle in a motel room. Put all I have left on a little black square. Risk it all like the big boys, like I don't even care. They'll drive you into the crowd cold, calling the auctioneer as the banks foreclose. And I learned a little something about how things are. No one gets a bonus for bloody knuckles and scars. And no one remembers your name just for working hard.
Slade Cleaves with Scrappy Judd Newcomb singing Rust Belt Fields from your most recent CD, Still Fighting the War. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
That was a song that that we were listening to actually in the car the other day. I was driving, I think I was driving my daughter, she's 10, back from the ice rink. And I mentioned that I was doing this interview, and she said, well, ask him why he writes songs that make me feel so sad when he gets to the end. And I almost feel bad asking it in that way, but, you know, it's... I'll just ask that question. You know, is there something to leaving people with that feeling as the last chord is struck?
Well, there's a few answers to that. I mean, I was moved by sad songs as a young child. I mean, I remember just crying when I heard the song Kalijah, the Hank Williams song about the wooden Indian who falls in love with the other wooden Indian across the street, and then the other wooden Indian gets taken away by somebody, and he's all alone. And so there's a ancient appeal in my bones there for the sad song. And then growing up as an adolescent, hard-hitting sad songs that sort of told my story or articulated the hard times I was going through growing up, those were very, very powerful and valuable to me.
Well, and I know your publishing company, I guess, is Magic Rat Records, and that is a character from maybe the ultimate tragic song by Bruce Springsteen.
Mm. Yeah. The name of my garage band with Rod Picott in 1981 was the Magic Rats, named after the Jungle Land character.
Yeah. I'm looking at the guitar you were playing, and I can't help but ask this question. It looks like it has been part of the family for a while.
Yeah, you're right there. My dad bought it new in 1965. I was a baby, and just played it around the house. But of course, I was enthralled every time he played it. And about 25 years ago, I borrowed it just because I had a Yamaha guitar that I played in a little band with a drummer. And I kept breaking strings because I would play so hard. So I asked my dad if I could borrow his guitar just to have something on the side of the stage as a replacement. And I soon realized it was a much better guitar than my cheap Yamaha. So I just kind of never gave it back to him. He's got a nice Martin, so he's all set.
But that has, and I don't necessarily speak guitar, but seemingly this wonderful warm sound to it.
Yeah, it's a nice guitar, and you know, it's nothing fancy, but it's just been well worn, broken in nicely, and you know, I tried to take care of it, and for a 50-year-old instrument, it's holding up pretty well. Yeah.
I would imagine that if there's any place in the world where there would be people who are good at fixing 50-year-old instruments, it would be Austin.
Yeah, there's a few down there.
Yeah, Austin kind of has everything you need in the music world, yeah.
Well, you, of course, grew up in Maine and now call Austin home. But I guess you still have strong ties to Maine. Do you see similarities between the places that you have called home, or as part of the appeal to each of them, how different they are?
Well, yes and yes. Karen, my wife, and I were sure ready to get out of those Maine winters for a while. So that was part of the appeal of Texas. And yeah, Texas is a much bigger cultural change than we ever anticipated, so it's been quite an adventure learning on the ways of the Texans down there. It's like moving to another country almost. But there are some similarities. Maine being kind of off on its own, kind of isolated on the edge of the country, breeds kind of an independent spirit that is common to the Texas way of life, I think, just sort of the do-it-yourself, independent, go-your-own-way kind of spirit. And also, people in Maine are super proud of their state, just like people in Texas.
You have a handful of story songs, I guess is the way to put it, in your discography, and one that I'm hoping you'll play for us in a couple minutes. But my question first is a story song a more labor-intensive enterprise than a more traditional or conventional AABA sort of song?
I actually think it's a little bit easier just because if you already have the story, then you don't have to make up very much. You already have kind of the framework to work with. You just got to figure out how to make it rhyme.
Is there, and the one we were talking about that I'm hoping you play is called Below, and I'll have you kind of give us a little bit of background on it. And I wonder if there's some appeal in portraying history that's often overlooked or forgotten in that same way that you're telling the story of people who have been perhaps overlooked or forgotten.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, of course, when I sing a song about a town, the time forgot sort of thing, you know, I'm singing about the people from that town, and those people show up at my shows sometimes. So, yeah, I've always maybe growing up in Maine with rooting for the Red Sox, I've always had a thing for the underdog.
Slade Cleaves and Scrappy Judd Newcomb, thank you both so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for inviting us over, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And tell us just a brief snippet of what this last song is about.
Well, I don't want to give anything away. I just say that this is a song about the town of Flagstaff, Maine, which you will not see on the map unless it's a really old map. There's an older road just off Route 9. Fades into the lake at the low water line. Sometimes I wander down that road.
Slade Cleaves, along with Scrappy Judd Newcomb, performing Cleaves' song Below in Lake Effect Studio C1. Cleaves was in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago to perform at Shank Hall, and he stopped by the studio then. He spoke with Mitch Tyke. We'll take one last break and then return with three ideas for day trips out of town, plus the next audio postcard from the Listening to Mitchell Public Art Project. Stay tuned. Lake Effect returns on WUWM right after this.
They swore that our village should light up the land. The dusky waters move cold and slow, and the ghosts of